Is there anyone in the audience who would like to give the invocation tonight?
You?
Okay.
I was just saying.
Okay.
No.
Go ahead.
No, I miss.
Okay, I will be doing the invocation, and Mike Flowers will be doing the flag salute. Please rise. Dear Lord, be with us tonight as we make the decisions that affect this school community. And we ask a special blessing that you be with the Fitzer family and everyone at his school site. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Pray it over your heart.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please. Here.
Here.
Mr. Flowers?
Here.
Present.
Here.
Here.
Ms. Sosa?
Here.
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 I have one item to report out from closed session. The following action was taken on October 11th, 2016, with the subsequent action being reported in open session as required by law. The following student number 208279, has completed her terms and conditions of expulsion and has been approved by the Board of Education for readmission to the West Covina Unified School District. It passed 4-0 with Eileen Miranda Jimenez being absent. Is there anything anyone would like to report out this evening? Oh. Miss Miranda Jimenez? I was thinking, I guess not.
Okay, first and foremost, I want to say what an amazing job. Thank you to everyone who assisted with the college fair. I know that it takes a village. And for Edgewood, who hosted it, you did a very, very fine job, Dr. Maddox and your staff. And to Miss Green, I don't know if she's in the audience. I know that phenomenal job. It was busy in the main room. We had a good cross-section of colleges that were close, colleges that were away. I was pleased to see that we had a good balance of the military as well as the like I said, our colleges. Sometimes that can be a little unbalanced at college fairs, so that was good to see. And also, many of the military knew our captain, Acuña Perez, too. And so they were telling students as well that if you are looking at us at the collegiate level, think about your ROTC program that you have. So I really appreciated that they made those connections. I also, and I forgot the lovely young lady's name, but the panel that was done in the library with current seniors from Edgewood and West Covina High School was very informative, and I really appreciated the tips that they gave students. And one of the things that one of the lovely young ladies said at the very end, they said, what tips would you give to a middle school or elementary school student? And they went every third student, and so it was done, and one young lady she raised her hand and said, wait, I have something really important. She said, I would say to a middle school and an elementary school student, take honors courses in your middle school. She says, I didn't. I got to West Covina High. I was able to self-select honors English, and she said, I wasn't prepared. Where all my friends who were taking honors in the middle school were prepared. And so she said, I would give you that advice. Challenge yourself in middle school, she told the audience, and take those honors courses. And if you don't do well, it's okay. They'll prepare you. So I really appreciated her advice to the students that were in the audience. And that is something now I'm passing along, too, because I didn't think that's excellent, excellent preparation. So I was really pleased. I also did Golden Bell site visits, and it's always exciting to go around the San Gabriel Valley and see the exciting things that are happening. I did Monrovia again this year. And that showed us truly how one person can make a difference. And we have amazing people in our district, and it reinforces the good work that we're doing here. I went to Montebello, and they have a garden. And they have gardens at every single school, and they've taken it to an entirely different level. I was so proud of our, and I still am extremely proud of our Garden Gourmet program at Hearst Ranch. But in addition to growing, the kids then, in elementary, everybody grows, in middle school, everybody grows, and then they learn how to make products. So they learn how to make bath salts. They learn how to make herbs. They learn how to dry herbs. They learn how to press and make essence. Peppermint essence and lavender essence. And then at the high school level, the high school kids put on the farmer's market that happens quarterly, where every single school in the district comes together and sells their products, their food, and the kids learn to price it themselves. So they price their tomatoes. They learn to be competitive with an elementary school along the way, or a middle school, or a high school. The high school students learn how to put on this event, how to market it. So I thought it was really amazing that the whole district has embraced it. And then the last place I went to was Pomona. And I'm so enthused to see that the community has come together to change the dynamic that's going on in the city. And it's truly an attitude of it's all our children, and it is all our community. So it was really good to see all of that working together, and I know that we are doing that by our principals sitting on community organizations. They're sitting at the table with school district, with our school district now. So it's always very gratifying to do these visits and to see what great work we're doing. So that was it. Again, for Mr. Fitzer's family, I look forward to the funeral this coming Friday. And again, thank you, everybody, with the college for very, very well done.
Is there anyone else? I'm sure we'll hear about it, but the homecoming at West Covina was done excellent. Well, it was an excellent job, and there's always so much school spirit. It's always fun walking onto that campus, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that tonight. Student representative reports?
Good evening, members of the board, Madam President, Dr. Hinman, and distinguished guests. So, yes, we just wrapped up our homecoming, and so all the festivities were a great success. Friday was our rally on our football field. The court skits were presented there, and then at the football game, the class councils presented their skits, and we crowned our queen. And although we weren't able to win, our school spirit was very high, and our stands were packed like normal. And before the football game, we also raised money for the Okura Memorial scoreboard, and that did pretty well too. And then on our dance, we had over 700 Bulldogs in attendance, and we heard so many great things, and we're really happy to have put on the biggest homecoming that we have. So it was a great success. And then the counselors held their Common App workshops and moved on to the UC application workshops. And personally, I got to attend, so they've been very, very helpful with that. The PSAT is coming up on November 2nd. And from last year's PSAT, we have five National Merit Scholars, three semifinalists, and two finalists, Megan Tran and Evan Lin, and they're all great individuals. Boys cross country has been doing well in their meets. In their recent meet, the boys placed first in all their levels, and varsity girls placed fourth, and JV placed second. And then currently, our fall choir concert is coming up, Confluence, this Thursday at Bethany Baptist Church at 7 p.m. And then band competition season is also here in full swing. They've recently taken home first place and second place, and Color Guard has also won first and third place. And then CSU application workshops are coming up this week, and so they're helping, counselors are again helping with seniors and applying to colleges. And today we held a mock election, mock presidential election, so that was pretty interesting. And our academic awards night is coming up next Tuesday night, and we're honoring all the honor roll students and AP scholars. Thank you.
Good evening, board members, district employees, and community members. I'm Cindy Sosa, student board member representing Coronado High School. Coronado is excited to announce that we had our first Student of the Month Award Assembly for September. Each teacher recognized a student who exemplified academic and civic excellence from their classes. Among several honorees, Carla Quinonez was honored as Student of the Month. We also honored Ms. Cruz as Staff of the Month, and we would like to mention that as of the beginning of the year, 940 credits have been earned school-wide. On the more extracurricular side of things occurring at Coronado, we had a football game against Sierra Vista Continuation and came out victorious. Coronado's Cultural Connections Program will host its second monthly event this Saturday, October 15, at the Shabaran Park. Our students will also be volunteering Saturday, October 22nd, at the Hearst Ranch Festival. Lastly, we are preparing for our Red Ribbon Spirit Week that should bring lots of excitement and participation. Thank you.
Good evening, board members, Dr. Hinman, and community members. The second annual district college fair was a success. We had a lot of parents and students from all over the district that attended our event. Overall, many students spoke with representatives from Cal Poly Pomona, Fullerton, as well as representatives from UC Irvine, Merced, and Davis, in addition to speaking with representatives from USC and Laverne. On another note, our girls' volleyball team is so far having a very successful season. Their next home game will be on October 17th against Gary High School. We invite everyone to come and support our team. A reminder to all that Edgewood's National Honor Society will be hosting their blood drive on Friday, October 14th in the gym. I invite everyone to please come and donate your blood so we could reach our goal of 90 units. Finally, our homecoming is coming up next week. Our theme is A Night in Paris. Our Spirit Week will start on Monday, and our homecoming rally is on Friday, October 21st. We welcome the board and Dr. Hinman to attend our homecoming rally, which starts at 11:15 in the morning. Our homecoming dance will be on October 22nd in the gym.
Thank you. Informal report, Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, President Polis. Crystal, if I can just ask, when will we get the results of the election?
Yes, sir. That was going to wait. Thank you. So it's like a statewide thing.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to send in the results, but I'm sure we can also count it. So our vice president is in charge of all the elections, so we usually count it with our admin. And so we'll see the results soon. I'll ask about it because our admin just asked us to do it, and so, of course, we did it. But it's like entered into a statewide thing.
So maybe next meeting you could read
it
out.
Yeah, well, so it's like a California-wide thing. So schools request to do it, and then then we'll see the results.
Oh, so all schools are doing it. They'll come up with a consensus, but you'll be able to talk West Covina High School.
Yeah, we'll see the results of West Covina High School.
Very curious. Thank you. Mr. Seaman.
Good evening, board. I just wanted to announce that today we have a new inductee into the Lions Club. Dr. Carla Contreras is a new Lioness.
Dr. Coghlan.
Thank you. Board, as you're aware, the staff at Merced has requested to plant a tree in honor of Gordon Fitzer. And Dave Lark and I went out and met with staff. There's a committee that was put together. We talked to them about different places that could be planted and types of trees, and they've chosen a tree. So I want to thank the board for supporting that that request. I think that will be very nice for the school and nice for the students as well.
Ms. Knutson.
Dr. Hinman, I just want to share just the Ed Services team and I and all of the principals in the audience. We're just looking forward to sharing some great data later in the meeting, so we'll look forward to the presentation.
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. And it will be the thinner. I said, oh, by the way, it's the thinner packet we'll be presenting, not the thicker packet, just to clarify.
Sorry, Ms. Hewitt. She was really looking forward to the thicker packet.
So, President Polis, members of the board, just a couple quick things. Being at the right place at the right time, I was actually visiting West Covina High School today and just happened to be walking by Mr. Wigglesworth's classroom. So I got to hear the choir singing their fall concert. Phenomenal, phenomenal, and highly recommend. They just never cease to amaze me and the skill set they have there. I know all of you, hopefully, have received the WC Beat, our new newsletter. We're sending those out a little rapid fire over the next month and a half, or this last month and a half. Then they'll be monthly, but there's lots of questions that are answered in there, including Measure ES, our National Merit Scholar finalists, semifinalists from both schools were recognized, and you'll continue to see the great things we're doing in our school district. And lastly, I mentioned briefly to the board, before I came, I was over at West Covina or Edgewood High School at the Coaches Clinic, and I really want to commend Mark Travatori and Mara Morales, who's here, for the great work you did. Dr. Martins, who's still over there, who was our interim student services. You know, as I shared with the coaches, and I'll share with you just so briefly, as an administrator and a coach, times have changed. and you can no longer operate like they used to. It's about morals, ethics, values. Everyone has a story about a booster scenario, a student scenario, a parent scenario, and we need to make sure that we train our coaches to be aware of the laws of today and the expectations that go with that. And so I really want to thank the board for the support. There's probably 70 coaches over there. The majority are West Covina Unified. However, we shared the wealth, and we invited our surrounding districts as well. They sent several representatives. So thank you for that support. It means a lot to them being recognized, and there was general head nods of thanks when I said that we couldn't have done it without your support. So thank you very much.
That moves us to items from the floor. Ms. Kelly.
Good evening, board. It's an honor to be here tonight. To our board members, our superintendent, I have a couple items I'd like to talk about. First of all, I'll remind everybody what what October month is. It's pink for breast cancer, and I'm a big supporter of it. Being a cancer survivor myself, I'm really for it, so I just want to remind everybody that. The other thing I want to talk about, and I didn't realize she was going to be in the audience tonight, I want to talk about the principal at Monta Vista, Mrs. Gomez-Gonzalez. Gonzalez-Gomez, I apologize. Anyway, as we all know, both of my children went to Monta Vista. One's 41 and one's 36. But I also have a special needs grandson that's going to Monta Vista now. He was 2 years. He was at Willowwood for the special needs over there, and he was over there. Well, as being a special needs child, as we all should realize, the first word in special is they're special, and they need that little extra care. Well, there was a situation that was in the kindergarten room, which I don't blame anybody for it. Maybe the teacher didn't understand that the special needs he had, and my daughter got a little upset about it. Well, she said, I'm going to call the principal. I said, that's who you should call. That's where you take it to. And she was so gracious enough to have a meeting with my daughter. And you know what? She knew about the special needs of my grandson. So it wasn't a surprise to her. And when she told my daughter that the miscommunication between my daughter and the teacher, that she would take care of it. And my daughter was so pleased that she did take care of it. So I just wanted to thank her tonight. She said she wore a blush, and she thinks the only blush I was going to talk about her. But you know, I feel our administrators and our teachers, sometimes they get a lot of guff from parents. But when the good things happen, I feel they should be recognized on that too. And I want to thank her very much, and I thought you should know. Second reason why I'm here, I want to let you know that I'm supporting your bond 100%. As being a resident in the West Covina Unified School District for 44 years, and as a West Covina City Councilman, that's why I wanted to step here tonight and let you know that as a councilman of the city of West Covina, I am also supporting it. Our children is our future, and they need the best they can get. I've been to a lot of different high schools. I've seen some of the things they've done to them, and we need to do that to ours. So we need everything you can do for them. So I'm 100% behind you, and I hope the bond passes, and I've been passing the word around that you got my support. If you want to use my name that's supporting your bond, you're more than welcome to. And the last thing I'd like to talk about, I'd like all of our West Covina residents to know what's going on in West Covina. On the 18th of this month at the City Council, we're having a meeting for districts. Our city was sued by three residents in the city of West Covina because they feel that, I have to say, that they feel that the West Covina is racist. When you want to file a lawsuit on a city saying that you're not being represented, they're saying that you're racist. Well, anyway, that's beside the point. I just want to let you know that's going to be on the 18th. All those who has any concerns about districts, if you're for it or you're against it, please come out. We want to hear your concerns. We want to hear if you feel that we should go to districts or if you feel we should stay where we are. But we are being sued, and the suit could go anywhere between $3 to $5 million. So I just want everybody to be aware. Please come out and tell us what you think. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so good evening. I am Andrew Sundstrom. I am the labor relations rep that works with the classified staff here in West Covina Chapter 91. As you're aware, we are in mediation with regards to our negotiations. In fact, we meet next week, and I hope that we can come to some sort of amicable solution to our differences. But what I wanted to express this evening is the frustration and puzzlement regarding the district's lack of movement regarding our negotiations on our grievance article. As I have communicated before regarding this issue, the chapter members have asked for the equitable contract language. We cannot understand the reluctance. We are told we are appreciated. We do a good job. We are told we are valued, that we are an asset to the mission of this district, which is to educate the students, but yet nothing, no movement, no action. This leads us to ask the question, does the district believe us to be equals to the teachers, and should we be treated as such? Is this a caste system where those who clean toilets and rooms and facilities are to be treated differently? Those who handle mountains of paperwork necessary to keep the district running smoothly, are they to be treated differently? Those who transport our students safely, those who make sure our internet is working when we need it to work, those who make sure that the AC is on when it's hot and the warmth is on when it's not, those who manicure our grounds to provide a welcoming environment, those who work side by side with the teachers in the classrooms, those who keep our campuses safe, those who feed our children daily, are those people to be treated differently? And the many more who work behind the scenes to hold these schools together, do they not deserve to be treated as equals? Or is the silence and reluctance the answer to our question? Please allow your words to become action and support our endeavor to have equitable language within our collective bargaining agreement. We want binding arbitration. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, that will move us to the agenda and consent items. Is there anything anyone would like to take off of consent? Is there anything anyone would like to add to consent? There is one change that needs to be noted. On BP 5121, with noting that change, is there a motion to accept the agenda and consent items as presented?
I move. Yes. I second.
Right after I put the other initials on. Okay. Eileen Miranda Jimenez has moved it, and it was seconded by Michael Flowers to approve the agenda and consent items for the regular meeting. Noting that there is a change in front of us on BP 5121B. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously. That brings us to A3. Is there anything anyone would like to speak to on the board policies and administrative regs? Ms. Miranda Jimenez.
Okay, on BP 5121, I want to thank the staff for making the changes. It reads much better now. Thank you very much. And then the clarification that you just added made it even clearer. But thank you. I appreciated it. We removed the absence and made the language clearer. So thank you. But I also wanted to hear from the students, because last time this became a discussion item. So I don't know if any of them read it and had some feedback. So I just wanted to give them that opportunity, because Francisco gave us great insight last time.
think?
Well, I think it's a good change. I read through it, and I think it's good. So you're changing it so that the board can change grades? Is that, or you cannot?
We can.
Also, that's like the correction right there.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So, Crystal, the only time the board would change a grade is if there's an ethical question involved in the grading process. But the California Ed Code, and for all of you students, really does give independent oversight to grades to the individual teacher. The question here was, when you start talking about makeup work, is it a truant? Is it an absence? Is it an unexcused absence? And there was ambiguity there. Yeah. So the purpose of this was to clean that up so it's very clear of what constitutes makeup work, what doesn't. And if, as an extreme example, if a teacher disagreed with an excused absence, for example, no, you can only get 40% back for that work, the board could say, well, no, policy clearly states that, you know, they have the right to make up that work. So it was really clarification.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Was there any additional comments?
Thank you.
Since there's no further discussion, is there a motion?
I'll go ahead and move it as amended.
That's that.
Oh, well, I think we already did that in the... Okay. Sorry.
No, we haven't. It was moved by Eileen Miranda Jimenez and seconded by Michael Flowers to accept for first and second reading and adopt the board policies. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously. That moves us to B8, information report. Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, President Paulus, members of the board. We are closing a chapter tonight. The board spent a significant amount of time listening to data reports. You looked at historical data, and you had consensus of what you believe to be realistic goals for our staff, teachers, and students to achieve during the 2015-2016 school year. Now, as you know, we gave a report to you in the spring with the data that we could show, which is why this document is so thick, because this is all-inclusive. We're not going to spend a significant amount of time going through all of that older data, but we do want to close the book. And when it comes to the data you'll see tonight, the CAF score, the CASP scores, AP, IB, those type of things, we don't get them in the spring. Sometimes we don't even get them in the late summer. When we get them, we can report out. So our goal tonight is twofold, to share with you the closing audit of your 2015-2016 goals and talk a little bit about where we go from here. Before we begin, I just want to share, before I turn it over to Ms. Knudsen, I have one of the most dedicated education divisions I have ever been a part of. That goes from Denise down to their directors, to staff. They truly believe in what we do, and if the board sets a goal, they're going to find a way to get it done. And that includes our teachers, too, because obviously, even though we have principals and directors and assistant sup here, none of this happens without our teachers and then, of course, our students. So with that being said and that set up, I'm going to turn it over to Denise Knudsen to share and ask the question, did we meet our board goals?
Thank you, Dr. Hinman. Madam President, members of the board, Dr. Hinman, Cabinet, distinguished guests, we are excited to be here tonight and share some really great news. We're going to present to you our presentations twofold. We'll be looking at our CASP data, which is our student assessment data in the areas of English language arts, and math. As you know, that came in over the summer. And then we're going to go into the board goal section, so it's a bit twofold. I guess what I want to preface the presentation with is, while we are very excited at the outcomes and the hard work that everyone has done, we also know there's much work to be done. And, you know, we're already in mid-October, and we've been in session since mid-August, so a lot of work's already taking place. So we're going to spend a little bit of time sharing with you some of the things that are already happening to address the deficits that we've found. But I don't want to diminish that tonight, but I did want to make you aware. We are we're serious about what we're doing, and as Dr. Himmen relayed, we're very fortunate to have such a hardworking group of people here tonight, and I do want to thank them. So that being said, we have two presenters that will be joining me, and the first presenter will be Laura Anderson, our new director of, well, actually coordinator of data and assessment. Oh, I almost made you a director.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh, we have to get the checkbook out. And I got to tell you, Laura has come to us with such a wealth of information, and I think the principals would agree with me that the data she has provided already has just been insurmountable. And she does it quickly, she digs deep, and it has been a huge benefit to us already. So she's going to walk you through the CASP data, and she's going to do so in a broad terms district-wide. And then we'll move, Dr. Gloria Duncan will present our information on the board goals. So, Laura?
So, while Laura is coming up, I have to share with you, Laura trains guide dogs. And I personally couldn't do it because after 18 months, you have to turn the guide dog back in and it becomes part of the family. Well, she just did. And she has about a 12-week-old puppy that's a guide dog puppy. And it's kind of like our mascot, I got to tell you. And every day she kind of gives me a hard time because she points out that I'm really not coming down to see her. I'm coming down to see Siri because I need my daily hug. So Laura has been a great addition to our district, but I have to tell you she's also brought a soft spot as well. So
aww.
Thank you.
So it's past Siri's bedtime since she's still a baby, so she's at home with my husband. But hopefully when she gets older, she can meet all of you. I know she met Mr. Flowers, and so if you stop by my office, she's kind of our department cheerleader. She's the happiest puppy. I've raised 12 puppies. She's my 12th puppy, and she's the happiest puppy that you will ever meet. So if you are having a bad day, stop by my office. There's plenty of puppy kisses to go around for everybody. Okay, thank you. Where did she go? There she is. Thank you, Ms. Knudsen. And good evening. It's my pleasure to be a part of West Covina School District, and it's my pleasure to be here tonight. But above all, it's my privilege to present the CASP data to you. I want to be mindful when we're looking at the data that it really only represents one piece of, I know Dr. Hinman iterated it, and so did Ms. Knudsen. Really, it's only one piece of the hard work and dedication that I've seen from the principals and the teachers in the short time that I've been here. So we have a lot of data to go through, and it's very important, but it's really just one piece of what I've seen in my time here. Everybody's doing a phenomenal job. So with that in mind, here we go. Okay, so here I have color-coded things to try to keep them organized in our brain. Math will always be green, and language arts will always be blue. So this represents our CASP results for mathematics. And now that we have 2 years of data, really the important metric that the state is looking at is our growth from year to year. So that's what this represents. The lighter bar represents 2014-15. The darker bar represents this past year. So as you can see, overall as a district, we grew 3% in mathematics. We had some very bright spots. We had grade 6 right here grew 6%, and grade 4 grew 14% overall across the district. I know that a point of interest for some of you is the subgroups, so that's what the next slide represents. So we have English learners are represented right here, homeless students as the subgroup, foster youth, students with disabilities, and then just so you can compare it at the very end is overall the district results in mathematics for the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm. If there's a student that's both a foster youth and has special needs, so we're going to see them in both graphs?
Mm-hmm. They're represented in both. If we move on to language arts, it's the same information, just in blue this time. So all the way to the left, you see we grew also 3% in language arts across the district. We had several high spots here as well. We had grade 11 grew 6%, and grade 4 grew 10%. So those are two areas of very great progress that we saw across the entire district. The same information for subgroups. We have English learners, homeless, foster youth, students with disabilities, and then overall the district average is right here on the right. So it's the same information. Students can be double counted, just like your question. If they're in all four of those subgroups, they'll be counted in all four of those metrics. Okay, this is a comparison of how we did in comparison to surrounding districts and also the county and the state. So language arts, we exceeded both the county and the state at 51% who met or exceeded standards in language arts. And in mathematics, we exceeded or tied both the county and the state in that area. These are some things that we wanted to highlight for you because we really want to take time to celebrate those schools and those grade levels that did a phenomenal job. So Monta Vista did incredibly well. They increased both English language arts and math by 14% of their students met or exceeded standards compared to the previous year. Vine also did well. They increased English language arts by 8% and math by 11%. Slow? Yes. Yes, you're the boss. Okay. All right. Edgewood High School increased language arts by 13% and math by 10%. And West Covina High School also did a great job, and they increased English language arts by 8% and math by 6%. So those are some high points by school. We also did well, as you saw, in the grade level comparison. So we had 50% in fourth grade English language arts. That's a 10% growth from the previous year. 67% in 11th grade English arts. That's a 6% growth. And then we have the comparison down here, so you can see how we compared to the county and the state for that grade level. And then we had 44% met or exceeded standards in fourth grade math, which is an increase of 14% from the previous year. Yes, ma'am.
I know we're going to move into professional development. I was just curious, and you know, I hadn't asked it of Dr. Hinman prior, but traditionally, when we take our state tests, not just us, across the state, across the nation, math tends to be higher than the language arts, and this year it was just blown out of the water for everybody across the state. So what was different in the test this year that math, there was just this discrepancy? It wasn't, so I don't know if you know. I don't know if that's been addressed in any of your.
So the English language arts mean being higher?
Yeah.
It's common
core.
Yeah.
Well, that I know, but it.
It's a complete, yeah, but when, okay. You're, when you're, CSTs, again, very standard based instruction. Common Core is a completely different way of thinking. That's my belief system, by the way. Oh. Others might tell you different, but of all of the reports we get back from parents who can't help their kids with their math homework, it's because it's taught completely different in Common Core. So my guess is that's probably the major correlation, so you might see that continue for a few years out, and hopefully.
Because it wasn't this dramatic last year.
Yeah.
You know, and granted, we tested with Common Core.
Right.
And this year, just, and it's statewide.
Yeah, and remember,
but
too.
It's not just us.
And Laura would share this with you if she didn't already, that, you know, the test remains the same. So when you start your test, as you show proficiency, the test continues to get more difficult.
Right.
So each year, they're going to be testing the same. So, and I know Denise shared with you that, you know, we're happy with these results, but that's it, because we have a lot of deficiencies. Mm-hmm. And that's why I know the board is very cognizant of our growth rates, realistic growth rates. If we keep hitting those growth rates, you know, we're going to do some very dynamic things. So I'll stop there because I know there's a lot more to share.
And moving forward, only because you all hear me joke and always say, we're so past Covina Valley, so if we could add Walnut in there so that we can keep chasing, because that's who our competition is. We're past Covina Valley.
Agreed.
We've left them in the dust already, right, everybody? Thank you.
I just have one quick question. Do we know the percentage of foster youth that are also students with disabilities?
I can find that out for you. It just is. I haven't disaggregated the data in that way yet, but that's a number that I can find.
I'd appreciate that, because
of course,
when we see the deficiency in special ed, it's part of that, mm-hmm, because we have a disproportionate number, which they probably should be in, mm-hmm, special ed, and if that's what we're looking at also.
Okay.
I have one question also. Mm-hmm. I noticed also there's a drop in each fifth grade level. From, is there a reason why? Each in the math and in English that they'll drop, so.
Right, so there's occasionally, this is my educated guess, there's occasionally a cohort of students when they're traveling through the system that you're going to see a drop with those grades because they need more support. And so when we've been meeting with principals and when I've been having discussions, we've really highlighted that fifth grade group who are now sixth graders and that they're coming to your sixth grade teachers. You need to make sure that you're supporting them in these areas. But there's no... I don't have a systematic answer for that, other than sometimes we see those, because we saw it in fourth grade when they were in fourth grade, and then when we were in their fifth grade, we also saw that drop in that grade level.
And I will tell you, Trustee Flowers, as much as I have refused to acknowledge what Laura just said in my career, it's true. If you look, go all the way back to the CSTs, you'll see that cohort go through, and we haven't found the silver bullet yet to get them up where they need to be. So it's something, if you look back to that cohort, moves from 5th to 6th to 7th to 8th, and I've had staff, you know, say, oh, my God, thank God they're juniors this year because, you know, it affects the base. That's not the right attitude to have. They have the right attitude. We're going to continue to work on it, but there is some truth to the cohort idea. So.
And I think that that's one benefit to the CAS testing is that we can track those students and see their progress on that test rather than comparing them to previous years. So we'll be able to see the growth of that cohort each year and monitor their growth across time.
There you are. Well done. Okay, so before we move on to the board goals, we want to talk a little bit about, so what are we doing to address those deficits and to move our students forward in the areas of English, language, arts, and math? Well, we're continuing to do a lot of professional development. Judy Keeney, UCI, College Preparatory Math. We've talked a lot about the K-3 Reading Initiative. What I can tell you is it's up and running at every school site, and a lot of great things are happening. I feel like, and I know the principals have shared, I think it's going a lot better than we had ever anticipated. Chromebook usage, thanks to Mr. Calderon, we get a report every week of our usage for the Chromebooks, how many students are accessing Lexia, and the usage is there. So we're really excited about that. For our special ed students, I know you're aware by the data that they have been, it's been stagnant and it's very low. So we looked at this year, we've trained all of our teachers in a different reading intervention program. For years we've used Read 180 for a long time, and this year we're now using Reading Mastery and Corrective Reading also as a different, besides them participating in the K-3 Reading Initiative, just for another form of intervention. So I think we're really looking forward to good things there. We're continuing to use our expository reading and writing curriculum. And finally, one of the professional development pieces that we've moved forward is with tests. We have a large number of new teachers, especially at the secondary level, and they're needing some support, and that program provides them with coaches, and they're really getting in and working with them in lesson planning and making sure that they're focused on Common Core and the standards. That being said, as the principals this year developed their budgets, and we did so in our department, we've allocated our resources to instructional support. We've made sure we've been very clear about that when they put a keen eye onto their budget, it better be towards student progress. Capturing kids' hearts, as you know, we implemented that grades K-8. And you know and I know, if you have fewer behaviors in the classroom, you're going to have more learning take place. And again, we've received really positive feedback regarding that. And finally, we've been doing data chats with the principals, and they've been so excited to come in and meet with Laura, myself, and Dr. Duncan or Cheryl. And actually, they've been really great meetings. And again, I have to give Laura Anderson credit because she has dug in and came up with some really great pieces of data for them to look at. So just wanted to give you a quick idea of what that meeting looks like. They come in, it's about a half hour, 45-minute meeting, and we present them with this information. This is a profile, an overall profile of their school, and it talks about how they did overall in the areas of math and language arts. We dig a little bit deeper into claims, some areas where they can do some more support. And then at that time, the principal also shares what they've been doing already at their site that might be unique to addressing certain deficits. We dig down. This is the data on their subgroups. So not only are we looking at subgroup data district-wide, we want to know at Monta Vista, how are the foster youth doing? How are the homeless? How are the special needs? How are the EL? Because that can vary per site. At one site, the ALs may be progressing at a faster rate, and it allows us to open that conversation. So this was really some interesting data that Laura provided. And finally, which there were a few trees, I think, that died along the way, but she provided for each classroom teacher a set of their data from last year. So they received a listing of every student they had last year in their class and how they performed on their assessment, who made progress, who did not. And then she gave a copy of their current list of students, where they were last year, where they are now, and what they need to score, how many points they need to score to move into that proficient range or exceed standards. So, again, that's really powerful information for principals to be able to share with their teachers in order to move students forward. I feel like they've been very appreciative. Maybe they're just being nice. I don't know. But I think they have found the information to be very powerful, and they are now going back and meeting, have met with their teams and are meeting with individual grade levels as well as individual teachers to have these discussions. So that kind of summarizes our CASP presentation. If we don't have any further questions, I'm going to move into the board goal session. Any questions?
Yes. Thank you.
The when you're looking at how they do by school, and then you disaggregate the information by socioeconomic, English language learners, and students with disabilities, at different schools, you're going to have different special day classes with different abilities. How is that affecting the data? And then how does the talk you're having with that principal differ if you have only RSP and then you have a moderate severe and some of those students are taking the test?
Just as a reminder, the only data is special needs data or special education data that's included is for mild moderate. The moderate severe data is not included at this point. We are anticipating, I believe, this next year. Maybe, but right now, so it's only RSP, it would only be your mild moderate students, so in your LH classes and your RSP, so those in the autism or more your moderate severe would not be included in this. So we have those conversations.
Even if they have the CAF data for them?
No, it's not included in the district school profile.
Wow, I didn't know that. Thank you for sharing.
I don't really know what my question is going to be yet, but you made a statement about during these data chats with the principals, which I think are a great idea, but you made the statement that you're providing principals with information regarding how much certain students, how many more points they need to score to advance. Now, that's taking me back a little bit to kind of CST verbiage. So I kind of want to dwell on that a little bit and then probably have a question for you on that because it kind of, again, goes back to that idea of, all right, let's manufacture a way to score well on this test and not overall at the skills because, you know, now it's more skill-based than content-specific. So, again, I don't know my question yet, but that generated some thoughts that, I'll get back to you with the question.
Okay.
Well, let me just comment historically for anyone. I'm going to just go dovetail on what you just said. As a school site principal, worth their weight, would realize that if I had a band of students that were 30 points behind scoring on a CST, and I had a band of students that were 200 points behind on a CST, knowing the game and knowing how our school is going to be ranked, they're going to get a different set of interventions. And my goal is going to be to move that 30 up a band, knowing that I'm going to be hard-pressed to get the other band. I think the difference here is, and just, I don't know the question either, but is that because it's a completely different test each year, it's a different set of standards. Now this is a test that continues to follow them all the way through. And what I believe the difference is this year is that you can't play that game as much, but doesn't mean that we don't need to know who those 30-pointers are. We need to get those kids proficient. and it might be a different set of interventions. Now I'm just talking versus what we would do as those in the far below, what we used to call it. One day we'll stop having the CST verbiage, but it's just so fresh in our head. So I think I just convoluted your statement. So I'll turn it back over to Denise. Right.
No, and I agree. Our goal is we want every student in this district to be met or exceeded standard. That's our goal. And so that's what we want to look at is that number, and we want to chase it, and we want them to meet it. So that's our goal.
Denise, I'm going to throw one more thing out because I love data. But I just don't want this point to get lost, that teachers are now being given their prior year student scores. That is huge. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't evaluate based on that, but that is an important piece of data for both the previous year's teacher and the post year's teacher, so they can collaborate over what worked, what didn't work with these individuals. And I'll tell you, I've had this conversation with our elementary principals in particular. I'm a big fan of looping. So a teacher would have a second grade class, and they would loop them into the third grade, where this type of data would even be more powerful. We're not there yet, but I think that forces the conversation. And I'm really proud of our teachers that they're willing to do that. Believe it or not, there are some districts where they're not even willing to have that conversation. So I think we're really progressing nicely in that.
How does that conversation work in between the elementary and the middle school, or the middle school and the high school?
Dr. Duncan, would you like to address that?
Well, first of all, I think that you need to keep in mind with the English language arts standards, those are not just the sole responsibility of the English language arts teachers. Our schools are looking at teaching literacy, not only in English language arts, but in history and science. And the data that is shared with all the content teachers. So the difference would be like this afternoon when we had the meeting with Dr. Maddox. She had a stack this big because we're providing that information for all the teachers, where an elementary teacher has a smaller group and can focus on the whole student and all the different, look at the data based on that and can get down to the really targeted interventions like our K-3 reading program, where the secondary teachers, because they have, 150 students, they have to look at more broader types of interventions. But teaching, as long as you're focusing on reading and writing and critical thinking, then those are the skills that are going to carry over in these types of tests, because all the tests are really requiring higher level thinking. And so there isn't one base score. Like for CSTs, we always knew if kids were at a certain number, it was the same pretty much from, third grade to 11th grade. Well, if you look at the scale for the CAS, for Smarter Balance, it keeps getting higher. So the whole idea is to progress. So the state really wants you to not only use the data to help your students perform, but they also want you to use the data to, there's a lot of resources that the State Department provides on helping you work with students and really focuses on teaching and learning.
So Dr. Duncan, just to continue on that line, I believe the question is, it's easy for the third and the fourth grade teacher to collaborate on post, pre and post, and the fourth and fifth, but the answer can be no to this. Do we currently have a structure where the pre-fifth can collaborate with the sixth at a different school, or the sixth to the seventh at a different school? Is that existing now?
I think certainly I can't speak directly for the elementary, but definitely at the secondary level, mm-hmm. because you have to look at that data and analyze it as different cohort groups go mm-hmm. through. And the other thing that we're doing is the interim assessments. So that gives the kids that gives you more data to see how they're doing. And we assess the students even though they don't take the test. We did interim assessments assessments in 9th grade and 10th grade, so we can look at that data and help them be more prepared at the 11th grade. But I would certainly think at the elementary level that those discussions are taking place as they are at the secondary level.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Miranda Jimenez?
Dr. Hinman kind of stole my thunder a little bit. I wanted to congratulate, thank you, Laura. The reaching forward and reaching back is so pivotal to student success, and I'm so pleased to see that we're functioning as a unified school district because we are K-12. So to have this data to say this is how your students did that you had last year and then the current students that you have and then being able to collaborate. So thank you very much. I'm really pleased at that because we will continue to see that growth. And I do understand what my colleague is saying, and we're teaching to the test, and I know that we're not trying to, but if our students continue to move up and if we're meeting their needs so that they can succeed, then we will see it at the high school level, and that we'll see more IB students, we'll see more AP students, we'll see better pass rates, we'll see more middle school kids taking honors courses to get them ready for the honors or AP in high school. So I know at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to achieve, is that they can become the better who they are. So, and, you know, unfortunately we have to have tests along the way, but it's what we have. But I really appreciate that you're digging deep, that you're giving us the subgroup information, that you're really excavating so that we really can hone in on every student. So thank you. I want to thank you for that, and I too am a big fan of looping. So
thank you so much.
So now that you've seen a lot of different data, we're going to actually and provide some more, but probably not as I think complicated as what you've seen in various things. So as Dr. Hinman had stated, that huge packet is the report that we reported on the 2015-2016 accomplished goals. And as he said, that we needed to wait until the school year ended before we could go ahead and collect the necessary data. And so now that the year has ended and the school has started, we're excited to share the final results. This is the final ending of our 2015-16. I know you're anticipating. Wait, please don't skip ahead and read the end of the story. Please stay with me, and I promise I will go through it quickly and painlessly. So our first goal that we were not able to report, we gave a progress report, was decreasing the number of D's and F's by 5%. And so we not only met that goal, but we exceeded it because we decreased district-wide secondary level D's and F's by 6.6%. So we accomplished that goal. Our next goal was to increase the percent of English learners being reclassified to 20%. We, again, were able to exceed that goal by increasing it to 23%. So another goal met. Another goal was to increase the number of students taking the SAT and ACT participation, and the goal was 5%, and as you can see, we were able to increase by 7.5%. And most of these relate to our college and career readiness. Looking at the number of students in having to be A to G eligible, our goal was to increase by 2%, and we were actually able to increase by 4%.
Dr. Duncan, let me interrupt you there. I just want to highlight the work that you did and Margaret Green did. Remember, this is not a one-year project. This is not a look at a senior year transcript. To do this effectively, you have to really start in the freshman year and be sure that all students are on track to meet A through G all the way through their 4 years, and when they slip up, that they take the right makeup course or online course or summer school course to replace that slip up. So to move these 4 percentage points in 1 year is astronomical. And I just want to say it didn't just happen because we have this college and career theme now. It happened because Dr. Duncan and Margaret Green went through and hand-reviewed transcript after transcript with the help of counselors and said, hey, Ms. Smith, if you just took this one course, you'd be A through G available. And that's really a process that's changed. So that this number wasn't by morale building or focus. It was because of hard work by our education division. So thank you.
As we continue to look at our next goal, because AP and IB, the programs have certain specifics, we separated it, even though the goal was to increase the enrollment in both advanced placement and in IB by 2%. So if we start with West Covina High School, you'll see that we've increased it, met that goal, and increased by 9.3%. If we look at the next slide, again, a new program that we're building, and the school is working very hard to expand their IB program, they were able to increase their enrollment by 94.7%. So they practically doubled it. So again, looking at the two programs and the number of students, you think of both, if you go back to both AP, you know, we have 1,348, and then if you look at IB, 699. So that is a large number of students who are involved in AP and IB classes. As far as the number of students passing, we had an overall increase between the two schools of 2.4%. The goal was 2%, and both schools are making progress in working towards increasing the number of students who pass the exams.
So let me interrupt you there because I have to brag again. So by increasing the number of students taking AP and IB courses and simultaneously increasing your pass rate. Now, let me stop there and say these pass rates are not good enough, and we will continue to work on that, but they're getting better. But my point is when you increase enrollment and you increase pass rate, you just have a block of children who never would have been in these courses, who never would have had the experience of a college course, who never would have potentially passed an AP or IB exam and gotten college credit. So Herculean task by both West Covina and Edgewood and the counselors and the administrators and the teachers to change this mentality. And what I think you'll see is you won't necessarily see these kind of growth numbers in participation. They'll grow, but maybe not this extreme. But what you will see is more children participating and the pass rates continue to grow. That's what I would ask the board to look at in the future, but phenomenal work, just phenomenal. Thank you.
I wanted to clarify that with the IB exam passing rates, that you mean this is the diploma passing. This is the whole, no, this is the individual classes.
This is total amount of tests taken.
Okay, thank you.
Total amount of tests taken, total amount of tests passed. And the same would be with the IB, or AP, excuse me.
Because remember, some of those classes, the things that you have to keep in mind is that depending on which college they attend, they can receive credit for it.
Yeah.
So even if you're not an IB diploma candidate, it's still worth your advantage to take one of the tests, and hopefully they will receive credit for it.
In the larger, is that included here? How many students did the IB diploma and how many passed?
No, because remember, we didn't have that data at that time.
Okay.
And so that's why we're doing this. This is the remaining goals that we didn't have the data at that time.
But we'll get that. We'll send it to you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So this particular goal did not have a...
And when we also, we have to look at the same thing for Capstone, because I know this is our first year with Capstone. So we also, just like to be fair, if we're looking at how many students are doing the IB diploma... and passing, then how many are doing Capstone in passing. So I guess that'll be next year's slide. Huh? Oh, no, it would have to be the following year for Capstone. Because we need to
correct.
Get that.
Correct, yeah, one more year.
In fairness.
Yeah, but we can tell you how many are on track to get the Capstone
perfect.
Diploma.
So in this particular goal, it was student behavior. And so as we presented the status of this goal, is that we looked at the number of suspensions, which is a good way of measuring your behavior. And you can see that we've decrease the number of suspensions significantly. As far as expulsions, the difference is not really significant. We're remaining about the same. So though the suspensions, you see that there's a difference there, and we will continue to work on providing interventions that will decrease the number of suspensions. So lastly, the final N. If you look at this last slide, you will see that there is a check mark by every single goal. So our findings are that we met or exceeded each of the goals. And so our last thing that we would like to say, Ed Services, and I'm sure I speak for the principals and the schools, we continue to really appreciate your leadership, because if it wasn't for you, we would not have met these goals. Your support, your guidance, everything that you do to help us achieve these goals. So thank you.
I think that goes the other way, that we set the goals, but without all of you, we would have never been able to make this kind of progress. So we all need to give you a hand, because this is awesome. It's like an A-plus report card.
So let me just thank you for that, and I'll accept the thank you for staff. Phenomenal work. But now comes the reality check, which is all of this data now becomes baseline. This is now the starting point. And everything that we do from that point is now will be measured next year. And I so much wanted to break in, even though I did a couple times, and give you kind of little hints of where I think that we're going to definitely meet those goals next year. I thought I'd better let that sit. Except to say, and I know I've had individual discussions, and as a group, it's human nature to want to set a higher mark as an incentive to push harder. And I want to also commend the goal to the board for allowing staff to share what we think is a makeable mark. But if you go by three, a 3 by 3 by 3 by 3 is 12 percentage points, regardless of which one of these goals it is, in a 4 years' time, that's big movement for a school district. And when you set the higher marks, you might hit it, but then the odds of maintaining or coming down is hard. It's hard on staff. It's hard on communities. So I think we're on the right path, and I appreciate the board's commendation to staff, and I share it as well. I'm just doing phenomenal work. Thank you.
Well, and I appreciate them looking at it individually for the individual pupils, because if you think that, there's 40% of a population that's not making it,
right.
Those are individual children, and I think that's what made it difficult for the board to say only 3%, because we don't have them that long. And but I know what you're doing is you're also looking at that data when you're looking at it the year before, the next year. Teachers can collaborate. You did really well on these particular items. How did you do that? And we all excel at different things. And different students may be struggling in a different way all the way through. And to be able to note that and look at that, I really appreciate that. So that's the reason we want to set the
right
it high, is because we don't want to miss that opportunity to teach each and every one of our students. But you guys, I couldn't be happier. This is exciting, and I know that we're going to continue to see this kind of progress. And then I just every time I see the number, though, I see a student, and I can see their individual progress. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Any additional questions? Comments? Okay.
Thank you, everyone. Yes. Thank you, because it really does take the work of everyone working together.
It takes the work of all of our elementary schools that are feeding into our middle schools, that are feeding into our high schools. And so it really truly is a celebration for everyone's work. And I really appreciate that. And Dr. Hinman, you're right. I'm looking at the data, I am tempted to say, okay, let's increase it to 4%. Because part of me struggles with, as Ms. Poulos was saying, is there's kids at the end of this. So if we're not increasing the numbers, then we're not increasing every student, but I definitely understand they have to be achievable. So I struggle with that. I was like, okay, we can make them higher now. But this is really, really good, and I was so excited by the number of students that are taking more IB and more AP. And I'm assuming the talks are already taking place, what more IB courses are going to be added next year, what more AP courses are going to be added next year, because when I go on the College Board website, I sit there and go, we don't have that one, we don't have that one. And we're not giving that honors yet, but we can. So I'm sure those discussions are already being had. Will we be extending the AP program to the freshmen? Is that something we're going to look at for next year? Like AP Human Geography, which is a very common AP freshman class.
Dr. Duncan.
West Covina High School is looking at adding another AP class. Okay. We're considering the AP Geography. Not sure if it's going to be at the ninth grade level, but okay, we've already started that process. And they're collecting the information, and they will, when they are ready, will present it to the District Curriculum Advisory Committee.
Okay. Another thing for our pass rates, which I didn't know, I just happened to have a quick running through the courtyard conversation with Ms. Frometta, who is the AP coordinator this year at West Covina High. And so something that could positively affect our pass rate is she says they're having a tough time. So I don't know what awards and incentives we have to put out there. But she said that they have seniors, high-level seniors, you know, the seniors that are amazing, that don't take the test in May because they're done. They've already been accepted to college, and so they don't want to do it. And so she says we got to figure out a way, because then that increases our percentage of passing, but they're done. And so I didn't even think that was an option. Back in the day, many, many, many eons ago, when I took AP, you had to take the test. That just wasn't an option. So if we can figure out some incentive, that'll also help our pass rate, because those are our high-achieving students. I had no idea they weren't taking it.
Well, I know that Ms. Knudsen is working with the new state rules and regulations to be able to, A, finance the AP and IB exams. And even if she's not unable to do that, which I think she is, I'll be coming back to you, okay, making a request. But also, if a student is going to a school that won't that's a rare breed that they where a college won't take the AP exam pass for college credit. So we need to make sure that they're really aware of what advantageous
it
will be to take that exam. And sometimes those colleges change. Mm-hmm. You might go for a semester a year and go to another, where then you can still cross over with those AB exams. So it's communication. The answer to all of your statements is yes.
Okay.
There are a few others that I'm a little hesitant to bring up tonight, but yes, we are exploring lots of things right now.
This is excellent. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much.
It is costly to take the AP, so I'm glad that, and the IB, so
yes,
I'm glad that you're looking into those options. But to encourage parents to pay that money, it's a lot less than it is for a course. And my nephew was able to go into college as a sophomore. So that saved a year of tuition. And he knew that the college that he was going to was going to be accepting those. Mm-hmm. So that was another incentive. So if parents knew, I know it's costly right now, but it could really save you. That might help also. And I don't know how well we advertise that.
Not for tonight, but we now have student board members that
yeah,
give us insight also.
A year of college.
What are incentives? I didn't even realize that they weren't. They were doing them their junior year and sophomore year, but then senior year, so I don't want to. So, okay, thank you.
So that moves us on to item C2. Dr. Hinman. Who's going to pass it on to me? Mr. Senior.
Oh, thank you. This is one of the more exciting moments of the night. And program responsibility for the Williams Act, Mr. Seaman.
And I'm proud to announce we have no complaints for the first quarter of this year.
Yeah, let's keep it that way. We like it when it's like that, yes. It'll be a real shocker if he had to report anything out, since I don't think he's ever had to. Okay. That will bring us on to the conclusion of our meeting. Is there any further board discussion? Ms. Eileen Jimenez?
Okay. I wanted to thank Dr. Hinman, and I want to thank Ms. Kelly, and I want to thank Dr. Coughlin for supporting the West Covina Food and Wine Festival. Thank you for allowing the staff to go, and I hope you had a good time, because it directly benefits our Garden Gourmet program. So I want to say thank you very much for being there. So that was it.
I do.
Mr.
Also, I was, as president of the Rotary, West Covina Sunrise Rotary, we're getting ready to have our Day at the Theater, October the 22nd, from 12 to 4. But from 12 to 2, we have dinner, all the you ducks, all the wine you can drink. We have food, and the play is magnificent. I think Ms. Lily and I think Lori have gone before, and they can attest to themselves that it has been great plays. I mean, if you want a great evening, the tickets will be $30, and it's well worth it. So I'd like to extend the invitation to my board and to the rest of the audience. Please come be a part of what's going on. All the money we raise goes towards shoes and socks to our most needed school kids in our district. So every dam is ready. And plus, it's a write-off. If you buy the ticket, you can write off and put it with your taxes. So all that is 501c, so you go with your taxes. So I would love to see each and every one of you there. Please come and support our youth in our districts. So you can see me for tickets.
The dates to remember, October 25th is our next Board of Education meeting.
Oh.
We'll be adjourning.
Wait a minute, one more. Red Ribbon Rally, October 29th, West Covina High School. That's it.
Be there or be square.
Yes.
We will be adjourning at 8:25.